Kind of hard to mess them up when you just sing Bible. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Is he good?
Amen.
Yes, he is. And we want to give him glory this afternoon. And one of the best ways we can glorify God is by opening and hearing his word. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, find verse 11. We're going to pick up where we left off this morning and move back through the word of God this afternoon. Now, I recognize this afternoon that right now is about the time some of you be going into your post-afternoon coma, your post-lunch coma, and I recognize that, but you can have time for that later. You have time for that later. So we're going to take this time for time together in the Word of God. I hope you had a good time. The food was good. Amen. Fellowship was even better. Amen. All right, three of you agreed to that, so we need to work on that a little bit. But it was great to be able to, I'm just going to tell you, like when I walk into the fellowship hall, I see everybody sitting around the table with a bountiful spread of food, talking and laughing and enjoying time together. It's a beautiful thing. I love it. I'm thankful for that time. And I hope you took advantage today. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray and then we'll read the text. This morning, we really focused on verse 4, walk in newness of life, and we're going to continue on with that theme as we round out this first half of chapter 6. So let's pray, and then we'll read together as we get started this afternoon. And I'm going to ask Brother Ryan Barnes, if you would, lead us in a word of prayer before we read. Amen. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Please be seated. Verse 11, we ended it with just a little while ago, reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin and alive unto God. And then we see verse 12 leads in, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So that therefore points back to all the things that we just saw, that we have been born again, justified by grace through faith. So we should stop living in sin. We should walk in newness of life. We should not serve sin anymore. We should live unto God because we're alive in Christ. And we should reckon ourselves indeed dead to sin and alive unto God. We want to put that on our account. We want to get it set in our hearts and minds. I am dead to sin. I'm alive unto God through Christ. I want to get my mind right around that. So we're just really going to focus on 12 through 14 this afternoon. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Don't let sin reign in your flesh, but rather yield your life to God for righteousness, and you can only do that by his grace. Our mortal body is our flesh. This is the physical life that we have. Now, if I understand my Bible right, when I was born again, God's Spirit came inside of me, and he made the inner man alive. Where it was dead, now it's alive. And so I have the new man. Paul talks about the old man and the new man. I have the old man that I'm supposed to put off with his deeds, and I have the new man that I want to put on in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to make sure that I'm living from the inside, that new man, born again man. I want to live out of that into my life. And I don't want my flesh to be reigned or ruled by my sin because I'm dead to that. I want my fleshly life, this physical life, to be lived out by faith in Christ. Hold your place right here and look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite verses. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. What's it mean to be crucified? What happens to somebody who's crucified? They die. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Well, that doesn't make any sense. He's writing a letter. How could he be crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have this life that we're living, but it's not really my life anymore. It's not my fleshly life. It's not my mortal life. But what I'm living out in my mortal flesh, I'm living out the spirit life. I'm living out my life of faith. And so my old man is crucified with Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ, and that's what I want to live out in my life. And that's what he's saying here in our text in chapter 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Do not let sin rule and reign over you. Sin is not sovereign in your life anymore. Sin is not in control or have dominion over your life anymore. And so you don't let it rule, because if you let your flesh rule, you will obey its lusts or its desires. So every day we're making choices to take a step in the flesh or take steps in the spirit. Every decision that we make, we're either bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, or we're letting our thoughts go in the direction of the flesh, and we're making decisions in the flesh. And I think it happens all the time. What about you? I mean, I got it set in my calendar, my alarm set every morning to wake up, because I know I got to get up early so I can set time aside to spend time in prayer and reading the scriptures. And I know when my alarm clock goes off, I've got to make a decision either in the flesh to hit the snooze and roll over for another 10 minutes or to get up, to force my fleshly mortal carcass to get out of bed and make a spiritual decision or stay in the flesh. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. There's a lot of days the flesh wins. A lot of days. And I don't know, I don't know why. Does anybody actually get any good out of that 10-minute snooze? Some of you guys are like, absolutely, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. I hate it. You know why? Because my flesh lies to me. My flesh says, if you'll just snooze another 10 minutes, you'll feel so much better. But you know, I feel just as bad 10 minutes later as I did 10 minutes earlier. Or 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, when I actually get my carcass out of bed, when I put my feet on the floor, I feel just as bad, no matter what time of day it is. Is that true for anybody else? But when I get up, when I make a spiritual decision that spending time in the Word of God is the most important thing in my day, and I put my feet on my floor and I get up and I go and I spend time praying and spend time in Scripture, I promise you, then things are better. Amen. You hear me? Amen. It doesn't mean my circumstances are any better. As a matter of fact, my circumstances might be worse. But I'm better on the inside because I made a spiritual decision. All right? This happens all the time too. Maybe you're cruising down the road and you're just listening to the radio. And there comes a song on the radio, maybe something from your past, and you really like it. But for the first time, maybe in your life, you ever paid attention to what the words were actually saying. Have you ever done that? Like songs you had listened to growing up, like you never really listened to the song, you just kind of sang along, not like mindlessly. But then you got a little older and you actually paid attention to what they were saying. And you're like, what in the world am I singing along to? Anybody else? I grew up, my dad used to love the 60s. You know, those were the oldies when I was growing up, the 60s. Now if you turn on the oldie station, it's the 90s. How did that happen? The oldies, 60 to 90s. What in the world? But I'm telling you that some of those songs, even in the 60s that my dad used to listen to, I had no idea what they were saying. But now I go back and I hear those songs, or songs from the 70s or 80s or 90s or 2000s. And you actually pay attention to the lyrics, and it's filth. And it's not only is it a song that doesn't honor Christ, it's dishonoring to Christ. Amen. Right? So then I've got to make a decision. My flesh really enjoys that, but it is killing my spirit. So I got to make a decision. Am I going to continue to listen to the filth, or am I going to shut it off and listen to something else? And listen, all of us are making spiritual decisions. We get up in the morning, what we listen to, what we watch on our screens, whether it's the screen in your pocket or the screen hanging on your wall. We're making spiritual decisions all day, every day. Amen. And what this means is not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That means that I'm not going to let sin be the king, be the sovereign in my life. I'm not going to let sin dictate how I live my life. Amen. But there are a lot of Christians who've given up that battle, and they give in to the flesh every time. And I want to tell you, there's not a more miserable person on the planet than the one who continues to give in to sin. They vex their righteous soul, just like Lot did, in seeing and hearing the evil things going on around them. You guys understand? Lot vexed his righteous soul because of what he saw and heard in Sodom every day. And friends, we might as well be in Sodom by the things that we bring into our homes on our screens. It's bad enough just driving down the road, but we bring it into our homes on our screens. And so don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't obey the flesh in the lust of it. Don't yield your members or present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Did you know that your members, that would be the parts of you that make up that mortal body? That would be your eyes and your ears, and your mouth and your hands and your feet. And the Lord warns about that, doesn't he? Amen. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Amen. If your hand offends you, why? Because it's better to enter into the kingdom with one eye. Better to enter into the kingdom with one hand. It's better to enter into the kingdom maimed, Amen, than it is to go away from the kingdom whole. Okay, so everybody hear me? Jesus just said, pluck your eyeball out or cut your hand off. Do you suppose that's literal? No. Have you ever thought about it? Remember the first time I read that, consciously, as a saved person, and I'm really perplexed by that. As a matter of fact, I think it was about 2 years ago, there was a young man in Florida who literally plucked his eye out, because he was struggling with looking at things he shouldn't. Just to clarify, I don't think the Lord literally wants you to dig your eyeball out of its socket. I don't think the Lord literally wants you to cut your hand off. What he wants you to do is to mortify those things. He wants you to put that flesh to death. He wants you to figuratively kill it so that you don't give in to it. I think we learned this morning that we can have victory over sin. I don't have to keep looking at those things. I don't have to keep going to those places. I don't have to keep hearing those things. I don't have to keep doing those things. I can choose not to yield my members, the parts of me, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But I can instead present myself to God because I am alive in Christ. Amen. Because I've been brought back from the dead. Amen. I've been brought to life. So I can present myself. This idea of yielding is exactly that. I'm gonna lay it down. I'm gonna surrender it. I'm gonna present myself to God as a living sacrifice. Present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. I'm gonna give my life to God. I'm not gonna keep doing what my flesh wants to do, but instead I'm gonna yield myself to God so that I can use my members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And isn't this great? This is what some people call the law of replacement, because all of us have had sinful habits in our past. And some of us have sinful habits in our life right now. And what we need to do is get rid of those sinful habits and replace them with good habits. Amen. We get rid of the old. We put off the old man. We put on the new. It's the law of replacement. Because here's what happens in your life. If you have a sinful habit that's in your life, if you stop that sinful habit, there's going to be a void there. And if you don't fill that void with good things, with righteous things, with what's good and right, then the bad will just come back in and be worse than it was in the start. How many of you know that's right? See, some of you amen things with conviction. You're not just saying, yeah, that's right. You're saying, yes, that's right. I know it's right because I've lived it. So those of you who don't know, you got to pay attention to the ones in the room who amen that with conviction because they've lived it and they know it and they can be good and wise and godly counsel for you in your life. Amen. When you get rid of a bad thing, you've got to replace it with a good thing. Amen. Okay, I picked on music a little bit. Let me just stay with that. If you have a habit of listening to music that doesn't honor Christ and you stop listening to some of that music, then what you've got to do is replace that music that doesn't honor Christ, you've got to replace it with music that does honor Christ. Amen. I find that this business of fighting and struggling and warring in our members that we have, we're going to study more about in chapter 7, but this war that's in our members, I find that it's a slippery slope. Amen. One listen often leads to just being completely given over to it. One look often leads to being completely consumed by looking. Amen. You guys understand what I'm saying? Amen. Is that it's amazing how we think we kind of reason with ourselves about it. It's kind of like getting up in the morning. I'm gonna have a debate within myself about it. It just a little bit is not gonna hurt. But it's never just a little bit. Amen. One thing always leads to more. And I don't know how many people I've talked to in my ministry and just my life as a Christian where people have completely gone so far away from God and so far down to rock bottom, and they will say, I don't know how I got here. Amen. Amen. I don't understand how I got here. Well, it was one look, one listen, one drink, one smoke, one whatever. Just fill in the blank. It starts with one. And so what we've got to do is present ourselves to God for instruments of righteousness. Now, none of us have a hard time understanding that we have done wrong and we have yielded ourselves to unrighteousness. But I want you to consider today that you and I can yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God. That God can not only help you stop doing what's wrong, but God can use you to accomplish his righteous purposes. That he can use you to further his kingdom. That he can use you to actually do good that matters for eternity. Not just a good thing that's really nice today, but things that can impact the kingdom and the kingdom of God and eternity forever and ever for the glory of God. So yield yourself as members of righteousness unto God, for sin will not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Somebody said that we should yield ourselves to God as the wax is yielded to the seal. You guys ever seen that in a video or something where they take the wax and they melt it and they usually take a signet ring and they press it into the wax? You guys seen that? Amen. That's how we ought to be yielded to God. We ought to just be melted before him to whatever he presses into us. That's what we're going to be. That he shapes us, that he molds us, that he makes us what he wants us to be. Because he is the potter, and we are the clay. Amen. Yielding to sin will lead from iniquity unto iniquity. Amen. But yielding to God leads to grace upon grace upon grace. Amen. As depraved as we can be in our yieldedness to sin, it can be that much more abounding to the glory of God when we yield ourselves to him. Grace to grace, grace upon grace. Back in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This idea of should walk indicates to me that we have a choice. We have a choice in how we walk. But we know what we've been created for. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You guys remember Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? Anybody remember what it says? Somebody tell me. Amen. So we're saved by grace through faith. not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? But then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is the way we should walk in newness of life. We should walk in good works because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. 2 John 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. And what is that commandment we should walk in? It's found back at verse 5, that we love one another. So we're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk in good works. And it's all based on this, that because he loved us, we love him. And if we love him, we will love others. And it's going to affect the way we walk because we love first him and others. So the question this afternoon is, how's your walk? I mean, if you're just really honest with the Lord this afternoon, how would you say your walk with Christ is? Are you walking in newness of life? Or are you walking in the deadness of sin? And I would say that most of us, if we were really honest this afternoon, we would have to say, you know, sometimes I'm stepping pretty good, and sometimes I'm not stepping too good at all. But I don't know about you, but I desire to walk in newness of life every step of the way. And when I start walking in the oldness, the deadness of sin, I don't want to keep going that way. I want to get back on the right path. I don't want to stay in that dungeon or castle of despair. I want to get back on the path. I want to get back on the right road. I want to keep headed towards that celestial city to the glory of God. So today we want to make sure we're walking in that right path. Let's pray together, and then I want to have a little time of Q&A with you again this afternoon. Father in heaven, thank you for the time together. Thank you above all things for Christ our Savior, who became one of us to die for all of us so that all who believe would have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to die to ourselves and live wholly to you. I pray that you would help us to yield our lives as members of righteousness, instruments of righteousness for your glory. I pray that we would account ourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through our faith in Christ alone. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for every step we take in the flesh and sin, and that you would help us to take steps in the faith, walking in the Spirit, walking in love for you and for others, walking in the newness of life that you've given to us. Lord, I pray you'll convict our hearts. So many times we have gotten so used to the ups and downs of life. We've gotten to a place where we're not as burdened for our sin as we once were. And I pray that you'd bring that conviction back, that we would hate our sin, that we would hate when we walk in the flesh, and that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and that you would get glory from our lives. Lord, we know that we can't do anything without you. We have to be completely dependent on the power of your Spirit working in us. And we just pray for that grace day by day. Please bless now this last little bit of time together for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.